Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's great to be here today. Thanks, Gloria, for that song. Kurt, thank you very much. Appreciate it. It's a gracious gift to be able to worship the Lord. And we worship in so many different ways. And one of the ways that we worship is through our opportunities that we have available to us to be able to serve and to share our lives with mission ministries all around us. And so this month, during the month of August, it is August, isn't it? Did you know that it's August? It's coming up. It's here. During the month of August, our mission ministry focus is on the organization called La Puente. So many of you have known La Puente for a number of years, a mission ministry in Alamosa in the San Luis Valley, focused on the needs of migrant workers, families, children, individuals who come into the valley. And you will have the opportunity to see some information about the ministry as soon as the service is over, back on the mission table, right as you go straight out the door. You'll find some material, and I'm guessing that Pat Chase will also be there to be able to share some information with you. But you could find out about, Pat, raise your hand over here, would you? There she is over there inside. Okay. You can find out more information about how you could be a part of creating hygiene kits or other materials that can be distributed. And you can find out information as well about how you could be a part of a small mission team that will be going down to La Puente to be able to serve there in a more hands-on way. So La Puente, a really wonderful ministry, reaching out and meeting remarkable needs. This morning we're thinking together about the nature of worship. And we've been thinking about these elements, critical elements that will move us into the future. You know, our only option is to go into the future. There's only one other option besides moving into the future. You know what that is. Just to kind of stop literally dead in our tracks, so we don't want to do that. So we want to move into the future. And as we move, we want to move with the Spirit of God, and we want to move in ways that are in tune with the Spirit. So we talked about the essential element of spiritual formation as being critical. We talked about what it's like when people really maximize the opportunity for individuals to simply love other individuals, for people to care about people. We talked about how important it is for people to be connected in small groups so that there's a place where you can worship, where you can be engaged with others in relationship, and you can share life together. And today we're going to think about the nature of relevant worship. And so worship is an essential ingredient for us. There's no question about that. But worship comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes. In just a few minutes, we're going to read from the book of 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you want to find that passage, we're going to get there in just a few minutes. But if you want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll come there in just a second. So I don't know if you've ever had the experience of being, maybe you just become very aware of the presence of God in a particular moment. Maybe you're out for a walk and you're just out in creation. Maybe you're in one of your favorite places, and all of a sudden you just become tuned in to the reality that God has given us this gracious gift of creation. Did that ever happen to you? All of a sudden you realize this is not something that's just random. This is a gracious gift, and it comes to us in such a remarkably intricate package. And sometimes in those moments, you might even want to burst into song. Do you ever burst into song? Anybody burst into song? We have a few singers in the group. I'll bet we have more singers than are willing to face up. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, literally sometimes you're just kind of just experiencing that kind of journey when all of a sudden the moment kind of comes. My favorite hymn of all time, "Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all," you know what it is. It's the gift of creation. It's the blessing of God. It's the grace that comes through the reality that God loves us. And in that kind of moment, when that kind of experience comes to us, there's no other option but to praise and to offer a moment of worship. So worship comes in so many different packages, in so many different forms. You know, sometimes you might worship in a formal kind of setting. a young couple meet and they decide to get married, and they send out invitations and they gather in the sanctuary, they gather in a sacred place someplace to be able to exchange their vows, and the people who gather with them have the privilege of worshiping in that moment. Or there's sometimes a tragic moment that happens, maybe in a community or maybe a national tragedy that occurs, and people simply spontaneously gather out of a need for worship. Worship comes in so many different packages. It might be under a tree in Uganda where believers have a tattered Bible and they make their way to that tree with an overhanging branch where they're going to sing songs, and they're going to read scripture, and they're going to proclaim the word to one another, and they're going to open their hearts to worship God. Just the last few days, Hank Batchis and I have been in Haiti. And while we were in Haiti, we happened to be walking along a little path. We were there checking out a mission project. And we're coming down from the hill where the project is located. As we're walking down the hill, we heard some music. We heard some singing going on. And so we began to wander closer and closer toward the music. And I knew there was a little church down there. I worshiped in that church before, but I didn't realize that on Friday morning at 10 o'clock that there'd be a worship service going on. But there was music coming, and we started to make our way a little closer. As we got closer, the music got louder and louder, and it's pretty clear that all we're hearing is a drum beat that keeps everybody in rhythm, and the voices of a group of believers simply praising God. And I want to show you 19 seconds of that experience. Got it? Seconds of worship in Haiti. So there we were kind of walking along, and the last thing I wanted to do was be the obnoxious tourist who just stuck there, you know, and held the camera in there. But it couldn't resist just kind of capturing a bit of that moment where people of faith who literally have nothing but a tin drum, what you heard was not a drum, what you heard was a bucket upside down. And that bucket became the instrument of praise. David read from Psalm 150. Praise him with harp and with lyre. Praise him with tambourine and cymbal. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we want to think about the nature of worship and how worship becomes relevant for us. Because if worship is not relevant for us, then it won't have an impact on us. So we're thinking about the nature of Christian worship. Christian worship is unique, because we're not talking about Islamic prayer, we're not talking about Buddhist practices, we're not talking about Hindu holiness, we're talking about what it means to be followers of Christ who offer our hearts to God and offer a word of praise in all kinds of situations. So here we gather here for worship this morning. We come together with lots and lots of different experiences, lots of different journeys that have unfolded over this past week, lots of things that we're anticipating as we look into the future. But we come to open our lives to the presence of God. And so let's think for a minute about some of the features of worship that are important to us. Let's start with some of the things that worship is not. Would that be okay? Some of the things worship is not. Worship is not dominantly what happens in front of this line. Do you see this line? It's a powerful line. It's an imaginative line, but it's potent. You know what I mean? And sometimes we begin to believe that worship is really what happens on this side of the line. Not true at all. Worship was never intended to be a spectator sport. Worship is about people, engaging people. It's about our belief that baptism is ordination and conversion is commissioning. And we're all in it together, all of us, because we are the people who want to honor God in remarkable ways. And so we come together to worship in all kinds of settings to be the people of God together. No barriers, no lines, no separations, no divisions, simply together. Worship is also not something that separates us from other people. Worship actually connects us heart to heart with other people. And so Psalm 150 that we just talked about, you know, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's a beautiful psalm of simple praise and worship. And over the years, I've known people who have been really willing and able to live that out, to live out that kind of attitude, because that's an attitude, isn't it? There's something about this. It's not just words on a page. It's an attitude. So I keep sharing with you some of important people who have been instrumental in my faith journey. One of those people is a fellow named J.C. McPheeters. Dr. McPheeters, all 120 pounds of him, was one of the most vibrant Christian believers that I have ever met. He was the president of our seminary, and when I knew him, he was in his late 80s and early 90s. I had the privilege of being an honor attendant at his funeral. But Dr. McPheeters took on Psalm 103. Anybody know Psalm 103? Psalm 103 was his psalm, the opening verse of Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord with all that is within me. Let everything within me praise the Lord. And so that was Dr. McPheeters' kind of theme song. And he would share it in the most remarkable ways. One day, I'm walking down the hallway in the seminary. And I'm all by myself, or I think I'm all by myself in this hallway. And it's one of those hallways that happens to be very reverberant. You know those kind of places where sound is kind of magnified just because of the way the structure is built? And all of a sudden, I heard a couple of footsteps behind me, but I didn't bother to turn around and look. I didn't actually have to look, because it wasn't long that I realized who it was. It was Dr. McPheeters, because he was proclaiming his faith. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then he would just say, my, my, my. And he'd walk away. And that happened like a spontaneous eruption, like a volcanic eruption, all the time for him, because that was his attitude, and that was the atmosphere that he lived in. That's the way he lived and expressed his faith. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. So worship is a critical ingredient for us, and relevant worship makes all the sense in the world. Because not all worship is the same. Worship, in fact, comes in all kinds of different packages. And it still becomes relevant, and it still becomes vibrant, and it still becomes alive. It just depends on what is going to connect your heart to the heart of God. So I think about the different packages of worship. I remember as a child going to visit my grandfather. So my grandpa, Jessen, was kind of an interesting guy. He was he wasn't the most lovable guy in the world, but there were some things that he really, really loved. And so he cut ice for a living in the winter off of the lake and stored it during the summer and sold it for ice boxes. And there was that moment in time where his life was changed when he shifted from an ice box to a Frigidaire. And it was always Frigidaire. It wasn't the refrigerator. It was the Frigidaire. And so he got the Frigidaire all set up there. He had the Frigidaire all in place, and he would love it when we would come visit, because we were just little kids, and he would line us up. So we kind of ceremonially would line up in front of the Frigidaire, and he would stand there for the grand opening, you know. And he would get a hold of that handle. You remember how handles used to pull out, you know. And he would pull that handle and open that door, and kind of the big reveal was taking place. And inside were sparkling, ice-cold bottles of Nesbitt's Grapette and Orange Crush. You remember Orange Crush and Grapette? Remember that? Yeah? In six-ounce bottles. That's the only way you could get a cold drink to go in those days, was at a six-ounce bottle, you know? And then, after a while, things began to change. And they came out with a king-size bottle. Remember king-size bottles? They went all the way to 10 ounces. They went from 6 ounces to 10 ounces. And then they changed, and they went from just coming in a six-pack carton to being in an eight-pack carton. I mean, what was the world thinking of? And then before long, they got to put them in steel cans, and they came along with this can system. Maybe you've seen it. It has a little pop-top thing on the top where you don't even need a church key. Do you know how that works? You know? Remember church keys? Yeah? Now today, you can get original and Classic and Cherry and Kumquat and everything you can imagine in every possible size you can imagine. It comes in this size and that size and a 6-pack and a 12-pack and a 24-pack and a 32-cube and a 2-liter bottle and plastic of all sizes because one size does not fit all. It's kind of like worship. There was a time when it felt like sort of one size fit all when it came to worship. And in most Methodist churches, you could walk in and be 10 minutes late and know exactly where you were in the order of service by what was going on. You'd know exactly how late you were by what was happening because it was one size kind of fit all. And the service started at 11 o'clock and it stopped at noon or the preacher got fired. And it's just some basic rules about the way things were. But today, people worship in large groups and in small groups, and they worship with different kinds of music, and they worship with different kinds of spontaneity, and some people worship in very classic and historic styles, you know, speaking words that are 1,400 years old, and other people are making it up on the spot. And the goal is to connect the heart of the individual with the heart of God. So the Apostle Paul in the second chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians begins to give us some insights into the nature of worship. And he begins to teach us. He's reflecting back on the time when he first came to this particular church. He first came to this church and he began to set a pattern for worship. And in his reflection, he describes for us some of the key ingredients that are important for us today as we think about how we worship and how we step into the future. He said this. He said, "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. But I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." That our faith might not rest on human wisdom or clever tricks of the trade, but on the power of God. And so this little passage gives us some keen insights. One insight is the reality that all worship, when we talk about Christian worship, all Christian worship focuses on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I determined to know nothing else while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Everything about worship was going to focus on Jesus. All of biblical history, all of salvation history, all of the revelation of the Scriptures is all critically important for us, but our focus in Christian worship is on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how that engages our lives to transform our journey and to send us out to be people who serve in His name. So Christian worship will always focus in that element. Christian worship will also always come in packages of humility. So you hear Paul, he says, "I didn't come to proclaim some mystery of God to you with words of wisdom. I come in fear and in trembling. I come simply wanting to pass along this word, this message." And so humility becomes a key part of the nature of Christian worship. Not so we are elevated or lifted in some lofty position, but so we can humbly come and obediently be present before the Lord. So humility, not humility like I consider myself the lowest of the low, but humility that says, "I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm a child of God, and as such, I offer my praise unto the Lord." Maybe there is no better place or no better way that we can demonstrate our acts of praise than when we gather for an opportunity to come to the table of the Lord. No better place, because it's here at this table that we remember the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's here at this table that we recognize the gift of forgiveness that has been given to each one of us. It's here at this table that we recognize the sacrifice that has been made so that we could have the gift of salvation. So we would have a focal point for our worship. I determined to know nothing besides Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And so as we come to the table today, I pray that the blessing of the Lord would rest upon you and that we would be able to worship in ways that would give us new insights about what it means to be the children of God and what it means to step into the future with God. I can tell you this, the future is remarkably bright. And when it comes to acts of worship, the opportunities are incredible because people and the varieties of people are beautiful and rich and full. And there are different opportunities and different expressions of worship that are going to be meaningful for us today and on into the future. And they're going to be meaningful for people that we have not yet even met. But our desire and our goal is to be a blessing to those people that we haven't yet met. And we'll do that when we honorably come before the Lord and proclaim our faith. Praise the Lord. O my soul, all that is within me, praise His holy name. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, on this day we come to Your table. We gather humbly. We gather in Your name. We come as Your children, Your people, called to this moment, this time, and this place. And so we pray, God, that You would speak to us in this moment. And as the cup is elevated and as the loaf is broken, that You would be present in our lives and that Your love and Your power and our ability to praise would come together in ways that would make all the difference. We ask, God, Your graceful blessing in these moments through Jesus our Lord. Amen.